Welcome. It's good to see you all this morning. We're going to continue in our study of the Proverbs this morning. My family is sad to not be here this morning. You can continue to pray for our family as well. The fever is just kind of moving through. So we are going to be in the book of Proverbs this morning. We have wrapped up the section of the Proverbs on speech, and we're going to keep moving through. Our goal is to read and delight in all the Proverbs. And it's been quite a worthy goal for us to go through. And we are going to spend a little bit of time now on specifically just foolishness and wisdom. It's interesting. The whole book of Proverbs is about folly and wisdom. But there's also just a heap ton of Proverbs that are just on specifically folly and wisdom. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time on that this morning. And the main point that we're going to take away from this morning, interestingly, and we're going to see how the Bible fleshes this out, and we're going to find hope in this, interestingly enough, but our point this morning here is that the fool has almost no hope of becoming wise. The fool has almost no hope of becoming wise. And let us tremble before this and see what the Lord has to say here this morning. Through the Proverbs, we are exhorted regularly to get wisdom. That's what they're here for. I mean, if you look even at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, if you look at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, Solomon says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And right here in the beginning, we're encouraged to get wisdom, and also told right there at the end that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we have something perilous laid out before us right here at the beginning, and that is wisdom and instruction is what we ought to get, but fools despise it. We've read many passages of the man given the most wisdom in the world, other than Jesus Christ himself, Solomon, urging us to get wisdom. Here are several more, just to set the stage. I'm just going to read some Proverbs exhorting you here to get wisdom that we haven't even read yet, though we've been delving through Proverbs, proverb after proverb. Here are some more. 22:17 through 21 says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips, that you that your trust may be in Yahweh. I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you?" This is Solomon talking to his son, saying, "Incline your ear, hear the words of the wise." And he says 30 sayings just as a way of instruction here. 30 sayings. These are 30 sayings between Proverbs 22:17 and going through 24:22. There's a small compilation, a collection of Proverbs there. Do you know that the book of Proverbs is a collection of collections that are all brought before the son of Solomon that we might learn and increase in learning? So let's go on. 23:12 says, "Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge." 23:23 says, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding." You're in the right place to receive this now. 14:15 says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps." 15:14 says, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly." 18:15 says, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Do you see yet? Get knowledge, get it. 24:13-14 says, My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off." Do you know that God provides nourishment for us, and he doesn't give us nourishment just muscling down gruel, but he says to go get honey and eat honey. And he designed honey to be sweet, to delight our mouths. and know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. Get wisdom. Get wisdom and avoid folly. Get wisdom and avoid folly. This is what Solomon is instructing us. Wisdom, I'm going to define as a humble capacity to move in sync with God's design, with knowledge and understanding flowing from a heart that fears the Lord. A humble capacity to move in sync with God's design, with knowledge and understanding flowing from a heart that fears the Lord. And folly, we'll define as a prideful stupidity flowing from a heart that does not fear God. A prideful stupidity that flowing from a heart that does not fear God. So you're to get wisdom and avoid folly. Why? Well, we've covered at length these, but the Proverbs continue to shower us with more and more exhortations against folly and for wisdom. So I'm just going to read what folly does. Folly produces more folly. It produces beatings, sufferings, trouble, derision, death, condemnation, wrath, and ruin, setting your city on fire and a hazard to your companions. I'm just going to do another long list here. Just let this wash over you. The simple inherit folly. The instruction of fools is folly. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. The one of twisted mind is despised. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. One who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. We shouldn't wander from the way of good sense then. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools. But his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. The way of the treacherous is their ruin. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. That one is 22 verse 3 and 27 verse 12. He says it twice, so I'll read it twice. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Scoffers set a city aflame. Have you seen cities set aflame in the last few years? This is no surprise to Solomon. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Folly produces more folly, beatings, suffering, trouble, derision, death, condemnation, wrath, and ruin, setting your city on fire and hazard to companions. And this is only from this small collection, which we've read many more in Proverbs as we've gone through this. It's bad. Folly is bad. Prideful stupidity is bad. It's not okay to stay in your stupidity. As it turns out, ignorance is not bliss. It's bad. It will set your city on fire. Wisdom, however, on the contrary, produces more. So folly produces more folly. Wisdom produces more wisdom and knowledge. Favor, good, persuasiveness, an established home filled with pleasant wealth, strength, life, deliverance from danger and wrath, triumph over enemies, and hope for the future. Allow me to read you some more of these. Well, what I should tell you is that, so I've listed these on a sheet for you. If you'd like, there's another sheet over there if anybody needs one. I've listed these out. And some of these, what I've done is I've taken, what Solomon will do is he'll put, this happens to the wise and this happens to the fool in one verse. And so what I've done, you can go back and read these together. Again, we're kind of dissecting Proverbs, which is not the best way to read Proverbs, but I hope it's the best way to preach it and get these thoughts into our heads. But some of these are just half of verses that have, I put the fool's part up here and then we're doing the wisdom part down here, just so we can understand wisdom and folly. But I've listed them out there for you for your own study. See, be a Berean, test to see if what I'm saying is what the Lord has to say. The prudent are crowned with knowledge. A man is commended according to his good sense. Good sense wins favor. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it. The prudent sees danger and hides himself. The wise turn away wrath. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such for your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Wisdom produces more knowledge, favor, good, persuasiveness, an established home filled with pleasant wealth, strength, life, deliverance from danger and wrath, triumph over his enemies, and hope for the future. This, unlike folly, which is bad, wisdom is quite good. It's great. But we have a problem. So this is the setting. So before you, I've placed folly, which is bad, and wisdom, which is good. Which one should we pick? Wisdom. You guys are listening. This is good. Very good. We have a problem, though. A significant problem, and that is that we cannot do this. This choice of wisdom over folly is inaccessible to us when we come into this world. We cannot do it. The fool has almost no hope of becoming wise. For a man to turn from folly, which brings out destruction, ruin, chaos, fire, to wisdom, which is good, an established home, pleasant wealth, life, deliverance from danger, triumph over enemies, would be for him to turn from something that brings him joy, laughter, and possibility to something that is abominable to him. To go from folly to wisdom is to go from something that you like to something that you hate. And it's not that life and wealth and hope are upsetting to the fool. He wants all of this, but he loves what brings the opposite. He loves folly. Folly, in fact, brings the fool much joy deep down in his heart. It makes him happy. 10:23 says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. 15:21 says, folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense. 17:24 says, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. Folly is opportunity. They're fulfilled in it. It makes them laugh. It's a joy. And as it turns out, the world will tell you again and again, you should do what makes you happy. Find fulfillment. Does what you do bring you fulfillment and joy? Then you should keep doing that, and you should cut everything else out of your life that does not bring you this joy. And therefore, if the fool is to keep that instruction, what he should do is to continue in his folly. Because folly is a great joy, a delight, bringing smile and laughter to his face. This was, and for some here is, your current situation. You love folly. You've chosen Proverbs, early on in Proverbs, Solomon gives us two women. He gives us Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly. And the fool has chosen Woman Folly for his lover. The fool also hates the wisdom from above. So he not only delights in the lack of sense, the freedom that he has to do whatever his flesh desires, but he also hates the wisdom that's from above. He hates to have to fear the Lord, to tremble before him, to deal with his maker, to humble himself. He likes wickedness, and he hates the idea of turning from it. 13:19 says, a desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. The Bible says that to turn from evil is an abomination to fools, viscerally disgusting. It says that a desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, and so you go and your flesh wants something, so you just go get it. And you don't have any sense, and you're stupid, and you're going out, and you're just going what's off the top of your head, that, the Bible says, is sweet to his soul. His desire is fulfilled, and so it's sweet to his soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination. As such, hating wisdom, he hates Christ himself, since Christ himself is God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 24 says, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." We have a problem. We have a sin problem. We have a sin problem, but we also have a good sense problem. Because in the fall of man, we were fallen. Our faculty of sense was broken. The things that we delighted in were things that actively worked against our own good. Isn't this true? Didn't you see this? Haven't you seen this true of your life? Why do I keep falling into these pits? Well, because you keep walking into them, running into them, and fighting off those will keep you from jumping in. This is our state. And so the fool hates what wisdom insists upon. He hates working hard. He hates honoring his parents. He hates being generous. He hates slow and deliberate speech, receiving correction, sobriety. And for him to choose these things over lounging, mocking his parents, stinginess, living off the cuff, stubborn, who gives you the right to correct me, drunkenness, free-spirited living, whatever this flesh of mine desires. For him to choose the wisdom of God over these things is for him to choose to whether he's given a choice, and that choice is either to drink his own vomit or to eat honey from the comb. And this is always really the choice, to drink vomit or to drink honey. Unfortunately, he's wearing the wrong glasses, and the honey to him seems to be vomit. And vomit seems to him to be honey. 26:11 says, unless you think I'm being unnecessarily crass, 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. He's going after it again and again, and this very thing is making him sick. This very thing is making him sick, but he'll continue to eat the vomit while rejecting the honey, because from his vantage, the honey is the vomit, and he's just never going to choose the vomit. 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. He's tricked. Fools go on fleshly instinct, or what they first hear, without knowledge, airing their own opinions with no concern for the truth, working to satisfy their base cravings in the perceived most immediate way, and this folly produces more folly and beatings and suffering and trouble and derision and death and condemnation, wrath and ruin, setting the city on fire and hazard to companions. And in God's mercy, Lady Wisdom comes to the head of the street, and she offers wisdom to them, which will produce knowledge and favor and good and persuasiveness, an established home filled with pleasant wealth, strength, life, deliverance from danger and wrath, triumph over his enemies, hope for the future. And she shouts, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Turn in here. Do you see your city ablaze? Do you see yourself walking into pit after pit? Do you see how your mouth is kind of ruining everything else in your life? Do you see that the choices you're making are resulting in suffering and beatings and slavery and your own oppression? Whoever is simple, turn in here. But we have a big problem, because when the scoffer hears Lady Wisdom, he hears the voice of woman folly. It's backwards. He's trapped in this view. This is a very strange example, but let it work, Lord willing. That let's say that Jeffrey Epstein offered you a shake of vomit and described it really well. He's like, it's vomit. It's it comes from somebody's stomach. And then said, but if you drink it, it'll make you happy and healthy. It'll change your life. This will be great. Like, you're Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not going to trust a word you say. And that sounds disgusting, and the person offering it to me, I don't like, and I don't trust. And this is the fool's state, is that he's being offered something that looks disgusting to him, that he hates, it's going to require him to abandon the things that he loves, and he doesn't trust the one offering it to him. And so what hope does he have? This is what wisdom is to the fool. That sounds disgusting, and I don't believe you. Especially for those who aren't just simple, but also see themselves as quite wise. This is the most dangerous place you could possibly be, is to be simple and to see yourself as wiser than everyone else around you. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, Proverbs 28:26 says, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. He who trusts in his own mind is a fool. 26:12 says, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So not only is this person simple, but also quite arrogant and seeing themselves as wise. A fool who sees himself not only as average, but also as quite wise, is doomed to death, ruin, and wrath. Consequences pile up, and obviously it's not due to their own folly. So they think. Things keep happening bad. My city keeps getting set on fire. My house keeps falling down. My friends keep abandoning me. My health is going away. I can't remember two nights ago because I can't keep a sober mind. I'm destroying the men and women around me. My life is crumbling down. But it's not due to me. I am wiser than all these people that are surrounding me. And if they'll just see, then the city won't keep getting set on fire. And you know who is most to blame? God. God is doing this to me. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against Yahweh. That's what Proverbs says. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against Yahweh. Isn't that interesting? Yahweh, who has sustained every breath of theirs, who gave his own son to pay for the sins of the world. Yahweh, who made the seas and the skies, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who's sustaining you by the breath of his power, who's making sure you get meal after meal after meal after meal, and in his great mercy has not thrown you into hell, because of the great destruction you've wreaked not only on yourself, but his creation and his people. And in his mercy, he continues to sustain you day after day after day. And when a man's folly, which he is instructed not to do, brings that man's way to ruin, his heart rages not against just the universe, not against just his friends, his heart rages against Yahweh himself. That's what the Bible says. And have not we seen this to be true? And since they don't trace the consequences to their own folly, they blame God, who they won't fear. And remaining in it, as the ruin comes, his heart continues to rage against the Lord. As it gets worse, his disdain for the Lord grows. This is his fallen mind, and this is our heart as we are born. This is our hopeless state. The fool has almost no hope of becoming wise. So this is the problem that Proverbs lays out for us. Proverbs lays out how great wisdom is and how horrible folly is, and also that the fool will not choose the wisdom. And so what are we left with? Christian, do you think that you came to the Lord because you were clever? Do you think that you got there because you saw better than anyone else around you? Do we see the need here for God's election? Do we see the need here for God's divine intervention? Do you know that if we were left to ourselves, we would run headlong into hell with everybody grabbing and pulling us away, and we would beat them off with a stick to jump into our own damnation? This is how we're born. We're born stupid. We're born so stupid because this is the result of the fall, and this is tragic. Do you know that Adam and Eve weren't born stupid? They were born new, ready to be receiving wisdom from the Lord and then gobbling it up like honey. But sin has corrupted our faculties. Sin has corrupted our sense that wisdom is distasteful to us, and we need God's divine intervention. Because 24:7 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate, he does not open his mouth. 27:22 says, crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with the crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. If you love wisdom now, it is not because you were clever. If you do not despise Christ now, it is not because you had the right love in your heart. God had to change you. God had to do something. God had to go in while you were sleeping and take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. For the word of cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Who are you, Christian, but somebody who's just being saved? That's who you are. That's who the wisest man who ever walked this earth other than Jesus Christ, and including Jesus Christ, say is that we are in great need of somebody to change us. What was once a joke to you has become repugnant. What was once a joy has become disdained. What was once an abomination to you is now honey on your tongue. And this is nothing less than an act of Almighty God. This is a miracle. These are scales falling off the eyes of a blind man. These scales that when you looked at this dish and it had honey in it, it saw vomit. And when it saw the dish with vomit in it, it saw honey. Those scales have fallen off your eyes and you can see now. Breath filling the lungs of a dead man. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is what the word of the Lord says. A fool's hope is in the hand of God coming down and changing his mind and affections. Without this, he is lost entirely. And as such, he is brought out of ruin and into life, out of trouble and into good, out of wrath and into eternal hope. And he's put us in a position where we're no longer storing up wrath and folly for ourselves, but actually we're craving and seeking after wisdom and life that will bear good fruit, that we'll get to eat. And then we can turn to Proverbs, and it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Yes, that's what I want. I want this real bad. I've been tasting this vomit for years and years, and now I just have honey right here. Christian, this is what we do with this. Think much of the mercy and compassion that God has for you, the great love with which he loved you. that while you were dead, he loved a dead man. He didn't love this sweet wise man. He loved a dead foolish man who was following the prince of his enemy, or following his enemy into death, and he loved you then, and then brought you out. Think much of this mercy. Think much of this compassion for you. Walk with gratitude and humility. Thank God that this happened to you, because you couldn't have done this yourself. So think much of this, and now that wisdom is appealing to you, go get it. You like it now, so go get it. Wisdom is yours for the taking. Do you know, getting wisdom for the Christian is like taking candy from a person handing you candy and saying, here, have this candy. That's as easy as it is. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. That's what Proverbs says. You've been transformed into a person of understanding. So knowledge is easy for you. Just go get it. Here it is. He laid it out for you. Read these Proverbs. He says that it'll be good for you if they're just on your tongue. If you know them, if they're on your mind, if they're on your heart, you just have them. Here they are. Just get them. Go get it. It'll fill you with joy, and the more you taste it, the more you'll enjoy it. And as you do, you're spared from death. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. That's what Proverbs 15:24 says. So go get wisdom. It's accessible to you by the grace of God. And also, now that foolishness is no longer appealing, be warned of the folly. So as we're reading Proverbs, be warned of the folly. These are actually good for a man of wisdom to see these things and see what folly has always done. Even in your folly, you don't really understand what's going on, but now you can understand what's happening and see the folly for what it is, and don't let it tempt you, but reject it. Don't be enticed by the vomit of the world. You might think they look happy. They get doses of laughter. Folly is a joke to them. But suicide and antidepressant use is just through the roof right now, guys. They're not happy. They might look it from time to time, but don't be fooled. But trust the Lord rather than your own eyes, right? The Lord was the one who gave you these new eyes. Don't trust just your own instinct, but trust the word of the Lord. The time of your foolishness is over. You've spent enough time sowing ruin. It didn't do you any good while you were in it, did it? Isn't that what you were saved from? So when you're reading through these Proverbs and you're reading the scriptures and you're studying and meditating and you're seeing what folly is, let the warning have its good effect. Let the Proverbs and let God's word make sin and folly disgusting to you. Because it truly is disgusting, so let the word show you it for what it really is. And then also, how were you saved, Christian? It was the hand of God working in your heart, and what did he use to do that? He used the gospel. So you should be bringing out the gospel to people, because that's the only thing that's going to save them. And you should let your reasonability be known to all. You should be known for your wisdom. We should be reasonable and understanding and demonstrate our knowledge through truth and being able to articulate it. But just know that appealing to the wisdom of the world is not how you're going to save them. You're not going to be able to save them by just making a reasonable enough argument. The only way that you're going to be able to save them is to say that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and died and then rose from the dead. And if you look to him hung up on that tree like the serpent in the wilderness, and you look to him with faith and you repent of your sins, you will be saved. And if God is going to save that person, he will use that. Your reasonable arguments aren't what he's given you to save a person. He's given you his son. He's given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what saved you, isn't it? Again, none of us got here because of our cleverness. Nobody got here because somebody made the right argument at the right time. But we got here because somebody told you that you were born dead in your sin and that you had no hope, but that God, in his mercy, sent his son to live perfectly as you didn't and to bear your sins on himself. And then he poured out his wrath on his son. And then his son was dead 3 days in the ground. And then he rose him back to life. And then he rose him up and he ascended to the heavens, and he's sitting at the right hand of his father now. That's what saved you. So give that to people. have that quick on your tongue. Know it. Do you know the gospel? If somebody asks you, what is the gospel? Are you ready with that? Because you should be. Know the gospel and send it out as far as the east is from the west, to the river, to the ends of the earth. Get that out there. This is what saves people from the ruin. This is the means God uses. This is the river that he calls the blind man to bathe in seven times, that he might have his sight restored. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in this, with that, don't forget to behold Jesus Christ here, to taste and see the real honey. This is the real wisdom of God. We've talked about this a couple times before in these sermon series, but one thing that you can do with the Proverbs, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, these Proverbs speak prophetically about Jesus Christ. When you read about wisdom, you're actually reading about the person of Jesus Christ. These passages that are about wisdom are ultimately about him. And so we can, with great care, recognize that when we read wisdom, we can read Jesus Christ. And so we can see, as we read these passages about wisdom, it says, but wisdom is pleasure to Jesus Christ. He is the man of understanding. So when you read about the man of understanding, it is Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ walks straight ahead. Jesus Christ is crowned with knowledge. Jesus Christ is commended according to his good sense. Jesus Christ wins favor. Jesus Christ has the king's favor. Jesus Christ loves his own soul and will discover good. Jesus Christ is called discerning. By Jesus Christ, the house is built, and by him it is established. By Jesus Christ, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Jesus Christ is full of strength and enhances his might. For by Jesus Christ, you can wage war. And in Jesus Christ, there is victory. Jesus Christ is a fountain of life to him who has him. Jesus Christ turns away wrath. Jesus Christ scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. This is what the Proverbs say, the man of understanding, who is Jesus Christ. Be encouraged that those chosen by God to be united to him by faith are blessed by him in the same way. If you're in Christ, then this is true of you. And so when you see the man of understanding, you can say, that's my brother Jesus Christ, and I'm in him. That means that whatever is accessible to the man of understanding is fully accessible to me, and I can have it. And this can be of great comfort to you, Christian. Have the comfort that is in you with Jesus Christ. And if you're here and if you're not in Christ, I've said that there's almost no hope for you, and that's true. And yet, you have more hope than anyone could possibly have through Jesus Christ. Do not worry whether or not you are chosen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I can say that with great certainty. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If God has opened your eyes to see this as a miracle it is, and cast yourself on his mercy. And he will give you mercy like he gave the rest of us. That's how any of us got here. My son, eat honey, for it is good. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that Jesus Christ is such to your soul. If you find him, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Jesus Christ is a fountain of life to him who has him. The fool has great hope of becoming wise, and this hope is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, what a gift we have in Jesus, the one wise man. Father, we're here, we're about to eat the bread and drink the cup. We're about to participate in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, as your word says. God, what a thing that we get, that we've had our eyes open, and that with great humility we can say that we can see because someone else has opened our eyes. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Meet with us here at your table. In Jesus' name, amen.